The following is distributed by the Berean Call.
Welcome. You're listening to the audio version of the Berean Call newsletter. I'm Tom McMahon, TBC's Executive Director. This month's feature article titled, Why Everything Is the Way It Is, was written by and will be read by Dave Hunt. And now, here's Dave.
Thanks, Tom. The prevailing view in today's media, public schools, and surrounding society is that the Bible isn't true. No educated person believes in God, and science is the key to life's mysteries. The lie of evolution becomes so deeply implanted that deliverance is increasingly difficult. The world rejects God says and accepts science says as the ultimate truth. Few realize that science cannot answer the important questions: why the universe and life exist, and why every child knows the difference between right and wrong, and believes that God exists until taught better. Few know what leading scientists admit. Max Planck, father of quantum theory, declared, quote, "Science cannot solve the ultimate mystery of nature," unquote. We don't know what time, space, matter, or energy are, much less the soul and spirit. Why cannot be addressed to the universe, but only to its creator. One cannot reason with an earthquake or a hurricane. There is no sympathy in nature. Nobel laureate Erwin Schrödinger, one of the architects of quantum mechanics, wrote, quote, "The scientific picture of the real world around me is ghastly silent about all that really matters to us. It knows nothing of beautiful and ugly, good or bad, God and eternity. Whence came I, and whither go I? That is the great unfathomable question for every one of us. Science has no answer to it," unquote. Science knows nothing of truth, only physical facts. Lee Smolin, founding member of the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics in Waterloo, Canada, has said, quote, "When a child asks, what is the world, we literally have nothing to tell," unquote. The question why irritates atheists because the maker decides the purpose for whatever is made. Without a creator, neither the universe nor life has any meaning. Without God, there is no reason for a rosebud or for the dew that makes it shimmer in the morning sun, or for anything else that we hold dear and enjoy, including human existence itself. Why is everything the way it is? Because God is the way He is. But who is this God? Is He Zeus of the Greeks, Brahman of the Hindus, Allah of Islam? Does it matter? Can't we just acknowledge a higher power? Higher than what? Power? No impersonal power could create personal beings, nor could any force conceive and write in words on DNA the directions for constructing and operating all living things. Atheism leads to numerous absurdities promoted by otherwise intelligent people. Sir Francis Crick, Nobel laureate as co-discoverer of the DNA language, begins his book, The Astonishing Hypothesis, quote, "You, your joys and your sorrows, your memories and your ambitions, your sense of personal identity and free will are in fact no more than the behavior of a vast assembly of nerve cells and their associated molecules," unquote. If this is the way the universe made us, why does Crick call it astonishing? He knows it is contrary to common sense. Yet to cling to his atheism, he must persist in such madness. However, most people would firmly object to Crick's description. Any thinking person knows that he weighs choices carefully, experiences joys, sorrows, hopes, ambitions, fears, remorse, and regrets that are very real. But, quote, "science says," unquote, is a holy mantra that causes every knee to bow, except those who will not worship Baal, 1 Kings 19:18. Biologist Richard Lewontin defiantly boasts, quote, "We take the side of science in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door," unquote. Arch-atheist and outspoken enemy of God, Richard Dawkins, claims that we are merely vehicles through which, quote, "selfish genes," unquote, perpetuate themselves. Yet he says genes have no foresight. They do not plan ahead. Genes just are. He also states, quote, "much as we might wish to believe otherwise, universal love and the welfare of the species are concepts that simply do not make evolutionary sense," unquote. What an admission. If evolution makes us incapable of true love, morals, or ethics, why do we admire these qualities? How can we be so unnatural if we're the offspring of nature? Crick and Dawkins seem embarrassed that many of the human qualities that everyone possesses could not have been produced by evolution. We do not think and act like we should if we were evolved from lower creatures. The language component in the human gene, quote, "is identical in every particular to that in a snail. Only the sequence of building blocks is different," unquote. The organizational genius behind DNA is breathtaking. Using the same four letters for plants, animals, and man, distinction is maintained not only between all kinds of living things, but between individuals of each kind. This ingenious arrangement sets bounds that make it impossible for DNA of one kind of life to change into DNA of another kind. Unquestionably, the DNA language, which is the basis of all life, did not and cannot evolve. The similarity between man's DNA and that of all animals is no more evidence that man evolved from animals than is the similarity in human and plant DNA evidence that we evolved from plants. Evolution did not make us. God made us. But atheists cling to evolution as an escape from accountability to God. Darwin's theory was his revenge against the God he could no longer believe in, the God that had allowed his daughter Annie to die. Darwinism's atheism prevents science from knowing why things are as they are. Without God, there is no answer to the why for anything. Yet here we are in a vast and awesome universe, and common sense cries out for a reason for its existence and ours. Why is everything the way it is? Only because God, who created it all, is the way He is. And why is God the way He is? Because, unlike the capricious gods of non-Christian religions, God revealed Himself to Moses thus, quote, "I am that I am," unquote, Exodus 3:14. Consistently, the Bible's God declares, quote, "I am the Lord, I change not," unquote, Malachi 3:6. God is outside of and untouched by the time and change so evident in our world. Dawkins says, "Genes just are." No, genes are not self-existent and eternal. They have to have a maker. God alone has no maker, but is the maker of all. Self-existent, uncreated, unchanging, perfect, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. For God to be God, this is who He must be. Why is everything the way it is? Because God, who made all, is the way He is. Of the newly created universe, we read, "God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." Genesis 1:31. Why was everything good? Because God, who made it, is good. Quote, "There is none good but one, that is God," unquote, Matthew 19:17. Even in its present corrupt state, much in the universe is still so beautiful that it thrills and moves us deeply because the God who made it is beautiful. David wrote, quote, "I seek to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord," unquote. Psalm 27:4. We need greater appreciation of God's beauty. Why is there some apparent good, even in a Hitler or a Stalin? Nazi extermination camp guards who had presided over the murder of Jews all day could come home at night, kiss their wives, play with their children, and enjoy listening to Wagner. This is because God, who is good, made man in his image. Genesis 1:26-27. Although sin separated all mankind from a holy God, a remnant of the image of God in which we were created remains. Yet everything man touches, even love, is corrupted. The man who persuades a woman to live with him without marriage tells her, "I love you." But what he may mean, perhaps unknown even to him, could be, "I love myself, and I want you." Only too late, they may discover that this is what both of them mean by, quote, love, unquote. Why the blight, rot, and death that taunts us everywhere? This, too, is because God is the way he is. Without God, whose character reveals and condemns it, there would be no sin. And without God's law written in man's conscience, there would be no knowledge of sin. Quote, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things," unquote. Isaiah 45:7. How could a good God create evil? The same way the God who is light creates darkness. A person who was born and died in a cave in total darkness would not know he was in the dark until someone shined a light. The light suddenly reveals the darkness for what it is, and God's holy perfection reveals evil for what it is. The haunting memory of paradise lost lingers elusively in man's heart. Why must it be this way? Because the God who is good is also holy and just, and man, made in his image, rebelled. What about eternal torment in the lake of fire? That, too, is because God is love and God is just. He created man to live forever in the joy of his love, not as an extra, but as man's very life. Those who reject God's love consign themselves to the eternal torment of a burning thirst for the one who made them for himself. Heaven will be the eternal satisfaction of the living water flowing, quote, "out of the throne of God and of the Lamb," unquote, Revelation 22:1. Hell will be eternally dying from burning thirst for God, the horror of fully knowing one's sin and rebellion, and the realization that one is there only because of rejecting Christ. God is love. 1 John 4:8-16. Love is the essence of his being. He loves us and wants to forgive us. But he is also holy and just. For God to forgive sinners without the full penalty being paid would contradict his justice and make him our partner in evil. Christ fully paid that penalty for our sins, but the pardon must be willingly and gladly received. God will not force anyone into heaven. Atheists scoff, quote, "How could a good God create this evil world? If God can't stop suffering and death, he's too weak to be God. And if he could but doesn't, he's a monster unworthy of our trust," unquote. In fact, this is not the world God made, but the one we made in rebellion against him. Don't blame God for what we have done to his once perfect world. Why did God allow man to rebel? That fact, too, is true because God is love. We can neither receive and enjoy his love, nor love him in return, or love one another without the power of choice. Love is from the heart, The ability to say yes means nothing without the equal ability to say no. Tragically, Adam and Eve chose to say no to God and to follow Satan. The entire universe suffers as a result. Quote, "The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, waiting." Unquote. Romans 8, 20-23. Those who reject the truth reject God. Sir David Attenborough, producer of decades of TV programs promoting evolution, argued, quote, "The God you believe in, an all-merciful God, created a parasitic worm that can live in no other way than in an innocent child's eyeball in West Africa?" Unquote. No, that is not the way the universe was at the beginning. And during the millennial reign of Christ, the world will be restored to its original condition, without animals devouring one another, without microbes and parasites preying on other living things. Quote, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion together, and a little child shall lead them. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord." Unquote. Isaiah 11, 6-9. In Christ alone, and his payment of the penalty for our sins upon the cross, we find reconciliation to God and ultimate meaning and purpose. All things were made by him. John 1, 2. Oh, mystery! The babe born in Bethlehem was and forever is, quote, "the mighty God, the everlasting Father," unquote, Isaiah 9:6. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," John 10:30. How can we understand and better know this infinite God? He made us for himself, and we naturally thirst for him. Quote, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God," unquote, Psalm 42:2. Yet those in rebellion foolishly attempt to quench that thirst in earthly possessions, pleasures, and pride. It was to reveal God to man as the only one who could fulfill that inner longing that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, was born into this world. John 1:14 and 3:16. The suffering that Christ endured at men's hands revealed the evil in all of our hearts. That suffering, which we inflicted upon him, could not save us. It was the punishment for our sins that Jesus suffered on the cross under God's wrath against sin that made it possible for all to be forgiven who believe on him. It is because he fully paid that penalty in our place that he can say, quote, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink," unquote. John 7:37. He who was born of a virgin and fully man is also fully God. Quote, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," Colossians 2:9, "who being the brightness of his, God the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, by himself purged our sins," unquote. Hebrews 1:3. Paul declared, quote, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory," unquote, 1 Timothy 3:16. Though now we only dimly understand, quote, "we see through a glass darkly and know in part," unquote, 1 Corinthians 13:12. We have the glorious promise that the more we by faith look upon, meditate upon, and understand our Lord Jesus Christ, the more clearly we see him and become like him. Quote, "But we all, with open," that is, unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Unquote. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The revelation of Christ, for which our souls thirst, thrills us increasingly as we more clearly understand who He is in all His fullness and what He accomplished to reconcile us to Himself. Something of His glorious person is beautifully expressed in Graham Kendrick's hymn, Meekness and Majesty. Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. Father's pure radiance, perfect in innocence, yet learns obedience to death on a cross, suffering to give us life, conquering through sacrifice, and as they crucify, prays, Father, forgive. Wisdom unsearchable, God the invisible, love indestructible in frailty appears. Lord of infinity, stooping so tenderly, lifts our humanity to the heights of His throne. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. Bow down in worship, for this is your God. This is your God.